Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 7. Today, my conversation is with Brenda, who calls herself a licensed massage therapist, but her practice is something unlike any massage I've ever experienced in my life. She calls herself a flow facilitator. My experience of having a massage with Brenda was a deeply emotional somatic experience, a way to deeply connect with myself, feel my presence, and feel things in my body that I have not been invited to in other spaces in my life. So many of us run away from our bodies. We run away from ourselves. We're in our heads. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Brenda, a discussion on how to fully connect with your body through this experience of a flow massage. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast.
Hi, Jasmine. Thanks. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yes, I'm excited too. And so I want to tell everybody how I met you. It's just a little shout out where you can meet some of your people is by showing up to groups and events where they exist. So I joined a wellness practitioners group probably, I think I joined a few years ago. And then when you moved here, you joined. And so we met as a part of this group. And I'm just so glad that you are my people and that I get to hear about your work. So I'm super excited for you to share about what you do. I know your primary title is massage therapist. And so can you share with us a little bit about what that means? And I know it's so much bigger than that.
So I moved to Washington 2 years ago and I had to get a license in order to be able to practice massage. So now the letters behind my name say LMT, licensed massage therapist. But as you say, I'm more than that. And for 10 years in South Africa, I was practicing kahuna bodywork. And I call myself a flow facilitator. So I help people to really move into a sense of flow through their bodies physically. And the bodywork that I do is a flowing massage. So it's a very experiential. You've experienced it. It's almost a deeply spiritual experience where it gets you into your body and moves blockages and allows you to start flowing and connecting to your breath and getting into a much deeper space with yourself, connecting to your deepest self and what's really going on inside. And so it creates a sense of flow because we release those blockages and then, creates a sense of flow in your mind, in your body, in your life.
So tell us a little bit about what that means for you. How did you get into this work? What did it do for you?
Well, I never wanted to become a massage therapist. That was definitely not on my bucket list. The thought of touching other people's bodies was quite gross to me, actually. It was not where I was heading. I spent years actually in television production, corporate television production, and burnt myself out. And then I reconnected to my body. So I was very much living in my head and I was very much in an intellectual realm. And when I reconnected to my body through dance, and I know you love to dance, so you can relate to this. It was through this mind-body dance practice that I got involved in and was started teaching for about 8 years. I taught it. That connected me to my body, and I realized how disconnected from my head I had been for so many years and how miserable that had made me because I'm a very kinesthetic person. But I grew up in a family that was not touchy-feely. We were a strict Catholic family. Touch was not really part of what we did. I only discovered hugging when I was 13 in high school, when I went to school and suddenly girls were like hugging each other and saying hello. And it was such a foreign concept to me. And so moving into massage was definitely out of my comfort zone, but it all happened very synchronistically. And it was like another step from connecting to my body through dance and movement and understanding intuitively how my body wanted to move. So the dance, I used to dance as a young person as well. I did ballet and I taught Latin American and ballroom for a while I was at university. But when I discovered this way of dancing, it was movement. It was movement and dancing my body's way and understanding that that if I connect to my body and ask it what it wants and how what kind of movement would make me feel better than or stronger or more flexible, whatever it was I was needing. So developing that intuitive connection to my deep inner self through my body, listening to those messages, that gave me a whole new way of moving. It freed up my movement and healed a lot of ailments like aches and pains and general things that I had going on in my body. From A, sitting still too long for many years, 15 years or whatever, not moving and not dancing. And also from being in my head. Because when we go into our heads, we actually are we become quite static. There's no dynamism in that. Our bodies become static. We start to close in and get very rigid. And, you know, flow actually stops in a way when we're in our heads a lot. So we need to balance it with the physical, which is why exercise feels so great.
I want to jump in. Everything that you're saying is so important. And I think a lot of us hear these sorts of things and we understand that they're good, but I think it's really significant how you started this talking about how you were burnt out. You had a career and you burnt out. And this is what brought you to this work. I think it's often some sort of rupture or burnout or something that invites us into our bodies because, like, as you said, most of us don't exist there. So what can you say about, like, how did you know what you needed to do? And I guess you were doing what we're all told to do, perform, like do, you know, like accomplish these sorts of things. And it destroyed you to a certain extent, which I think it does to all of us when we burn out. Like, can you say a little bit about how that happened?
Yeah, sure. It was interesting because I lived a very creative life. So on the outside, my life looked amazing. You know, I was married, I had two children, I had the perfect sort of extended, you know, my parents seemed perfect. You know, we all seemed perfect on the outside. But what was going in underneath was a lot of discontent for myself. And all I wanted to be when I was busy in a so-called creative industry of creating television, you know, producing, directing, whatever, it was in a corporate space, all I wanted to do was be at home painting. So finally, when I let go of everything and I stopped, I knew also that I needed to start moving. And it was a sort of a deep knowing that, you know I hadn't been doing exercise and moving because I was working 10, 12-hour days and trying to look after children. And I just knew that that was my missing link, that I had to start exercising. And I didn't know what yet to begin with. And I saw an article, and so it led me to do this. But what took me to the massage was one of the ladies who was also a teacher in this dance practice. She is the Kahuna Bodywork teacher in South Africa. And she asked me to go on a training as a body, so the body that people practiced on. And it was the most non-judgmental, safe, beautiful, heart-filled experience that I've ever experienced. And it took me a lot to leave my young family. I'd never left them before, to go away for 5 days. And to, as the teacher said to me, you know, come, you'll get wings and so will your family, to start opening that heart space inside me. Literally, you know, kind of opening up the physical muscles that attach to the bones across the front of my chest and to open up my breath. And I was at the time grieving the loss of my father, who I was very close to. And all this grief came up and was released in this space and held in such a beautiful way with so much aloha and so much gentleness that it sort of sparked something for me. And it was only about 5 years later that I actually went and did a training to become a Kahuna body worker. But it was that time that made me realize how much I was holding and how much pain, physical and emotional pain, was sitting in my chest, which is obviously where we hold a lot of grief. But there was a lot deeper and a lot more to be released, which I discovered when I actually went through some of the trainings to become a body worker.
I love what you're saying so much because it sounds like everything just fell into place for you. But I also hear the element of risk stepping into something. And it wasn't something that you necessarily chose for yourself, but it directed you to where you are today. Doing something outside of what we, leaving your young family for 5 days, that's a big deal. How were you able to do that? What was it that inspired you to take that action?
I've suffered with depression and anxiety for all my life without knowing that I was actually suffering with that. So I'd been to a lot of talk therapy and, you know, you spent years talking to a therapist and not really moving anywhere. And I think the opening of the connection to the body made things start to shift and move. And what allowed me to take this risk was that I'd already taken the one step because I'd reached such a low point in my life that I knew something radical had to change. I kind of always talk about it to my clients as, you know, we sometimes have to go right down to the bottom of the depths of the ocean until we can't breathe anymore. And then we kick up, we like kick the bottom of the floor of the ocean to kind of swim up to the top again, because something radical has to change for us to be able to continue to survive and to get more breath and air to keep moving. And that's what had happened. And it's happened a few times, even on the journey. Once I'd connected to my body, there were still times when I was still depressed for a long time or very low. And in 2010, when I started to go on the trainings with the Kahuna body work, and at the same time, I stepped into an intuitive painting workshop, which changed my whole life as well, and my whole relationship with my art process. I'm also an artist. It also just started moving things for me. And I recognized, I got to a very low point and realized that if something doesn't change, I cannot go on like this anymore. So that was really, it was that prompted me to make the change. And I knew I had to do something different because, you know, that saying of if you keep doing the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting different results.
Yes. And I think these low points that we hit, sometimes when we're in them, they feel devastating, but we don't realize is that they can be a powerful invitation to the right path, which I love so much. And I'm glad that you're sharing that and that you can talk to your clients about that. One thing you said was you found so much aloha. Can you say a little bit about what that means to you?
Yeah, so it's taken me a while to understand aloha, and it's one of these. It's a word that like many Hawaiian words, has a lot of meanings to it, and it means hello and goodbye, and it means I love you, and it talks about love, but it's kind of bigger than that. In it also involves compassion and non-judgment, and forgiveness of self and others. It encompasses a relationship with nature and the elements. It encompasses deep respect for all people and all living things. The Hawaiian people are very connected to the land and to nature, to the ocean, and they have deep respect and see the world and the environment, the you know, nature, the physical environment, as part of their, what they call ohana, their family. And so aloha encompasses all of this, and it's everything that lights you up and brings you joy and keeps you in harmony with yourself, with others, and with the world.
And I know you and I have talked about when I've done work with you, which has been amazing, you've talked a lot about the elements, and I know that you bring them into in the room even where we do the massage practice. And you've talked to me about your sense of what my body was out of balance with. Can you say a little bit about that part of it?
So a lot of traditional healing modalities work with the elements of air, water, fire, and earth. And as human beings, we are nature. We are part of nature. You know, we live and we breathe and we have blood and we flow and we're made of matter. So we relate as part of the earth element, but we're also made of water. When we're born, 90% of our bodies is water. And as we get older, less and less of our bodies has water in it. And so that's why we get more dehydrated as we get older. And so there's all of those elements exist in us. Our digestion is like the fire element happens there because there's activity and digestion and breaking down going on. And the air element is to do with the thought processes. So, and our mental faculties and our visioning and our spiritual experiences. So all of that exists within us, the elements. And so when we can tap into them, and when I read your body, for example, I'm just casting my mind back now to, you know, knowing and sensing how busy the air element was. So when they're out of balance, we can work with them and go, oh, you know what, I've got a very busy mind right now. And that the air element is like too active. What can I do to bring it down to a calmer space so that I can work with calm the nervous system and come back to a place of, you know, equilibrium and homeostasis and harmony and alignment within myself so I can function better in the world. And this often relates for me to the nervous system. So I like to really say that I focus on the nervous system in all the work I do as a flow facilitator, which incorporates what I do in terms of allowing people to experience their creativity as well with intuitive creativity processes. We are always working with the nervous system, and the nervous system is, for me, controlled by the breath a lot. So we can always tell where a nervous person's nervous system is. Like, what is your breath? What are you experiencing in your breath right now, Jasmine?
I mean, I'm aware that I hold my breath a lot, and I'm not conscious of it. I know I've seen my clients do it too, but I was just doing it, thinking and like holding my breath.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're in that thinking, very intensely concentrating, we're often holding our breath. And to become aware of this. And so for me, it's the nervous system is needing to be replenished through the breath and through real awareness of coming back to the body, which has all the elements in it. So I'm not sure if I'm making sense. Is that making sense to you?
I think it's totally making sense. And I think part of why I was holding my breath is I'm just like, oh my gosh, like we can talk about so many different aspects of this. I love this work. I think it's so important. I also think something you said is really important. You said we can experience our creativity. And that is a huge part of, you know, what I think my third podcast episode was with Michael. So we talked about flow and experiencing the dancing piece of it. We all are capable of all these things. You know, creativity, I've heard people say, and I can even say this about myself, like I'm not a very creative person. That's not the right measure. It's about experiencing what's happening, experiencing your body. And when we live these lives of, you know, productivity and accomplishment, we're usually in our heads, like we started off talking about. So everything you're talking about, the nervous system being in the body, it's all so important. And I also think it's really important to put out there that it's kind of difficult to talk about because it really is an experience. Like we're talking about an experience. So I just want to put that out there that, you know, for anybody who's curious about any of this, I really encourage you to contact Brenda and just try it so you can understand it and then maybe come back and listen to the podcast. So we'll say that. But then I want to continue talking about the nervous system. So can you give us a little science? What is that? What are we talking about here?
Okay. So very briefly, there's different parts and aspects to the nervous system. And the part that we want to focus on, which affects us mostly in our daily life, is the autonomic nervous system. And that's divided into two parts, which is the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So we have the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight, flight, or freeze. So when we need to do something or we're under stress and we have that hypothetical tiger chasing us that never really gets us and continues to chase us in our daily lives. So we're constantly running from it when we're on the treadmill and in our heads a lot and trying to get things done and accomplish. That kind of stress is great when you want to get away from the tiger, but eventually you can't sustain that, because what happens in your body physiologically with that is that it goes into all your energy goes towards making you fight, flight, or freeze, right? And so it's taking it away from your processes like your digestion and your vision and your ability to breathe deeply and all of this. These processes don't function. They all shut down so that the energy can go elsewhere so you can run. And if you're constantly in that state, well, you can imagine what happens to your body. The flow actually starts to stop, you know? nothing works properly inside. The digestive system slows down and becomes congested. The breath, as we talked about, gets more shallow. And you start to get aches and pains because there's no oxygen going to anywhere. Everything starts to not function. And when so we have to have this balance. I like to say it's like the balance of the yin and the yang. It's the balance of doing and being, or doing and resting. And in the resting phase of the nervous system, the parasympathetic phase, that's the relaxation phase. And we have that when we go to sleep, but we have to have that as well during our day and in our lives. And not only as a, oh, okay, I'm going to stop this now and go lie on the couch, but it's an energy that happens within ourselves. And Jasmine, for example, if you think of something, give me somewhere where you've been really overwhelmed and kind of like driving yourself in a space. Imagine yourself in that space. Okay, just work with me here. You imagine a time in your life, which may be quite recently, where you've kind of been driving to get things done, and you're constantly on it. Every day you wake up and you're doing. Okay, I want you to imagine that, and I want you to notice what's going on in your body physically. How's your breath?
My breath feels shallow.
And your heart rate?
My heart rate is up for sure.
Okay. Any tingling sensation or tension in any part of your body?
I feel it in my chest. I feel a tightness. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel anything in your jaw?
Yep. My jaw's tight.
And in your belly? Anything? Maybe not.
Not so much in my belly.
Okay. It's more in your chest. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just notice that sensation. Those are sensations, the tightness, the shallowness, the heart rate going up. Those are sensations, and that's what we want to talk about. Instead of relating to feelings as emotions, we're talking about feelings as physical feelings, sensations in the body. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to imagine a time when you were really in a space of relaxation, maybe on one of your beautiful holidays. Or vacations, as you say, where you felt at ease and restful and like you weren't thinking about a million things. You could really be present and in the moment. And imagining yourself in that space and then noticing what's going on in your body. How's your breath?
Yep, slower, deeper.
And your heartbeat?
It's taking a minute to go down, but it feels like it's relaxing.
Yeah, we need to take more time to do this to get the real effect. Yeah,
definitely. But I think more than anything is just the freedom that I feel. It's almost this like expansion. Like my body was very constricted in the first thought. And in this one, I just feel myself like expanding. Like I have space and I feel so much more free.
And can you tell me where you feel that freedom? Where do you feel the space in your body?
I definitely feel it in my back and my shoulders, but I also just feel like all over my body. It just feels good.
Great. And so that is a really tangible experience of the nervous system. There you have it, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. It's that stressful ongoing experience and then the rest and relaxation experience. And you want to get to the relaxation experience as much as possible. And, you know, Eckhart Tolle talks about the power of now and the power of being in the present moment. And the invitation is to try to be in the present moment even when you're doing the stressful things, that you're doing them with enthusiasm and enjoyment and with the experience of that relaxation with you rather than – and so it means creating and developing this muscle of self-awareness to your physical body and your relationship to your body so that you can become aware all the time, what's my breath doing? How am I sitting? What's my tension level in my body? Can I do this very stressful job and still maintain relaxation in my body? In the chaos, can I still find a little bit of relaxation and order?
Because when does it stop, right?
Exactly.
And this is like, let's shamelessly just plug the name of this podcast, the Live Your Life podcast. People miss their lives.
Yeah.
When they're running away from the metaphorical tiger. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to say something about, so obviously this is a huge part of the work that I do, which we've talked about, the somatic work, the experiencing work that we do. I think very few people are invited to check in with their bodies. Mm-hmm. We're so in our heads. Even that little practice that you just walked us through, connecting with my body, things that I would not have been conscious of unless I stopped and actually checked in. But they're so clear and they're so obvious if I actually set the intention to pay attention to them. Mm. And I want to share my experience, you know, as a practitioner myself. And with my clients, what I've done with the hypnotherapy work that I do. But I'm just thinking about when I was on your table and we were doing our work together. And, you know, what is this metaphorical tiger? We're so busy. We're so busy doing. And when I was laying on your table, I think every time I've worked with you, we've done 90 minutes, mm-hmm. which is, it seems like a long time, but I think it's really important, especially for somebody like me, who's a thinker and a doer. I'm very like high performing, do. Mm-hmm. It takes time for me to relax into my body, and we're listening to music. I'm having the experience of connecting with you, and I tap into emotions that I didn't know were there. And I don't know what they're connected to. And I remember, I feel like it's happened twice, but I know one time it was grief, what I connected to. So I think for a lot of us, at least what I've seen with a lot of the work that I've done, people I've talked to, the metaphorical tiger is grief or sadness or something that we don't necessarily want to pay attention to. So we spend our lives running away from it. Mm-hmm. And then we have these spaces where we're able to connect with that, which has always been there. And we are not even aware of the energy that we're taking to run away from it. And then I know another time I was completely overwhelmed with gratitude for my life. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, of course it makes sense, but it wasn't something I planned for. I was just completely overwhelmed with the beauty of existing in that moment with you. And this is the power of the work, is inviting us to ourselves and what's happening when we spend so much time running away from ourselves, which my opinion is that is tragic. I think it's so tragic. And so I love this. So all of that to be said, back to you, the nervous system. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what you were saying is absolutely true. We just don't have these spaces where we can meet ourselves. And that was part of my burnout experience. You know, I was there running and doing for everybody and trying to juggle a million balls. Where was the pocket of space where I could be silent with myself? You know, trying to do a meditation when you are in that frame of mind, sitting still and trying to meditate becomes for me a very mental process. And then I start to judge, well, I can't get my mind to shut up. And, you know, until I did a meditation course and realized that was the point, is that actually when you're meditating and your mind is busy, it's just unloading all the stuff that's there that needs to come out. And eventually it will empty because it's a practice. And so it's a constant practice of awareness of, where is your nervous system at? And that's a question I ask my clients when they come into my space or when I work with them online or if I'm in the, when I do these intuitive creativity workshops. It's, where's your nervous system at? Let's check in. Take this moment to notice what's going on in your body, because that is your indicator for where you are emotionally and for how well you are functioning in the world. You know, are you able to function from a relaxed, expanded place of awareness and consciousness where you can really respond to the world in a way that you choose to respond to? Or are you being in a space where you're reactive? And often when we've got the tiger after us, we're reacting, and it's not how we really want to be. Or maybe we haven't even thought about how we really want to be. Maybe we've actually never considered
it. We don't know
it.
That we have a choice. Yes. Yeah, we never have been invited to know that we have the power to choose.
And I didn't for so many years. I ran and I was trying to twist myself into a pretzel and go with other people's flow and keep everybody happy and do the right thing and not get into trouble. I'm a perfectionist and an overachiever. So I call myself a recovering perfectionist because actually I'm kind of getting there, but it does pop in. Of course, these parts of us are always there. But I was just doing everything to the beat of someone else's drum. For 32 years, I did that. It was a long time to be doing that. And so I've been forced to take care of my nervous system. I suffer from anxiety. I have to be aware of it. If I'm going to be of any worth and any use to anybody else, not just my clients, but to my family or to my friends or to the community in which I live and to which I contribute. So to be functioning human beings and be worthy of, you know, to being able to be responsible to contribute, I feel it's our responsibility and our duty to others to look after our health, which for me begins with your nervous system in order to create a sense of flow. Because when things are flowing, that's when there's health, ultimately. And then when we have health and we're in a state of flow, we are then able to also, this is a whole nother tangent, but the philosophy of my work is that we want to love other people, but maybe we're loving in the wrong way. But in order to love in healthy ways, we have to begin with loving ourselves. So I often talk of practicing exquisite self-care and fiercely loving yourself and learning what that is. And that's not just having a bath or going to the salon for have your nails done. It's really sitting with yourself and really meeting yourself deeply in a space like the massage or in a space like the intuitive creativity or wherever it may be, in a meditation, in silence, where you really are being able to see who you are and how you are and then find ways and modalities and help and reach out or sit with it or journal it, whatever we do. Somatic practices for me are always the best way to shift it and to work with it rather than shoving it away and working with it so that we can then function in a way that is a healthy way. And then we can love in a healthy way too. And the more we love like that, then the more love we have for ourselves, I think the more love we can give to others.
I mean, we could take this into another tangent as well, but I think sometimes self-care is incredibly uncomfortable, especially if you are a performer or a people pleaser. Sometimes that means saying no. And for those of us who are really good at taking care of other people, taking care of ourselves feels counterintuitive. And it's easy to flow into these, you know, like, you know, going to the spa, getting your nails done. Those are easy because they don't upset anybody. And something I know in my own work is that it's been hard for me to set those boundaries. And so I think it's really important that you're talking about this as a practitioner, even as a person in general. Sometimes taking care of ourselves is difficult if we're really good at taking care of other people.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I used to say that it mostly women do this, but I have to be honest that I'm married to the most amazing man. And I was also married to another incredibly different and interesting human being. And both of them, I realize that men suffer from this as well. So it's not just a woman thing, you know, that we care and love too much or that we try and twist ourselves into a pretzel to help others and lose ourselves in the process. You know, we're all overperforming in many areas of our life or in some areas and not others. And it's hard to stop and it's hard to say no. We don't want to take on more. And it's hard to know that you might upset the apple cart if you're a person who's always lived like that, if you've always been like that and been programmed like that from when you were young.
Absolutely. And the other part that I feel drawn to talk about is money. So I think for me, a lot of my clients can bill insurance to work with me, which is really beautiful. It's an investment to take care of yourself. And a lot of people don't necessarily believe that they deserve it or there's some sort of fear that comes up. And I just want to really put a plug in here for the importance of that energetic investment in yourself financially, time-wise. I think it can be really hard for people. And I think it's incredibly important to set that space and that energy for that self-care.
Definitely. You know, I think back to my own story and for years, I mean, my whole marriage of 20 years, we struggled financially. We really didn't have any extra to do anything. And yet, somehow, I managed to find the money to train myself up in 7 levels of Kahuna bodywork and go to repeat many trainings. It wasn't always a money exchange. It was often an exchange of being an assistant or whatever. So there's always a way of that energetic exchange happening so that we can really do the things that are important. And I think my point about this story is that I had learned to trust my intuition. And through learning to trust my intuition, which is that deep knowing of what's right for me in this moment, I've taken huge giant steps leaving my marriage and my children because they chose not to come with me when I left. So, you know, leaving that, coming to Washington, leaving my children in South Africa, like making these giant steps, which from the outside people go, what? How can you do that? But they felt right for me. And there was a mantra that I work with often. If it's, I do what's right for me, if it's really that deep knowing that it's coming from my deepest self, this guidance, then it's right for everybody else. Because every action we take, that sends out a ripple effect. And although it may not look like the right step or action in the moment, because for a while it really didn't look like that. I had people turning on me and I, you know, my daughters were angry with me. Everything didn't look right. But now, quite a few years later, 9 years later, I can see the effects of that. And actually, it was the best thing for many people because it prompted them to make shifts and changes. And it made my daughters grow up more resilient. I was an insanely helicopter parent. So, you know, it's those things that we get when it's the gifts that we get when we really know ourselves well and we can tune into the intuition of our bodies. So the indicators that are coming from there, and then also that deeper knowing that doesn't come from our minds.
This is so beautiful and so important, and I believe it. So I want to go back to your story. So we kind of started talking about your process. So you were invited to this experience, and then what happened after that for you? What was your progress, your process of diving into this work, and how did you arrive here?
Well, the process of reconnecting to my body, as we've said, began with the dance experience, but going deeper through the body experience, the physical experience of the massage, of giving and receiving it, changed many things on so many levels for me and prompted me to, again, it got me in touch with that deeper intuition. And I made giant leaps of leaving my marriage and moving out and then doing a lot of deep work for myself. I was living on my own for the first time in my whole life. I went straight from, you know, my childhood home into marriage. And so 20 years later, at the age of 40, I think I was 40 or 42, I moved out and there I was living on my own for the first time in my whole life. And it was so liberating, but it was also so scary. But it gave me a lot of this, what we were speaking about earlier, the time to get to know myself. And at the same time, I was also going to have a lot of body work and I was giving and receiving body work so that I was constantly staying in touch and in tune with my body and with that deeper knowing inside myself, my intuition. At the same time, I also was invited to attend an intuitive painting workshop, which I'd never heard of before. So I had studied fine art at university. And of course, all my work was made to, as a product, you know, to please other people and to make a statement and to be intellectual and to be academic and to be critiqued, which is a really tough thing for me. I hate being critiqued. And this intuitive painting created a space where there was no judgment, and it was pure expression of whatever's coming out from inside you, and a conversation with paint, like a meditation with paint. And it opened up something in me that was just, again, another deeper layer of that connection to my intuition, and also the voices in my head and the stories. So it reflected to me what was going on in my mind and the stories I was telling myself. And you often speak about this, Jasmine, where the stories that are going on in our minds are not necessarily ones that are true anymore, and they're ones that we can change. But you first have to have the awareness of them in order to change them. And painting in silence for many hours gave me this opportunity, because I was doing something something somatic with my hand and creative and with color, which is the language of the subconscious. It kind of like cleared away a whole lot of space and allowed me to hear those voices of judgment. Like, what will someone think? What if I paint this? What will someone say? Oh, I want them to like me, so I might better paint something pretty, you know. And I'm actually an artist, so I should be painting a good painting. And all of this self-talk And the process is amazing in that it takes us through giving us questions to change the process, but also to notice where we're in a state of stuckness. And anyway, I think I'm making a long story here, but that shifted and transformed me as well into having
a... Well, actually, I want to cut in because I think this is beautiful. I think it's important. I mean, the stories matter. So when you have these old stories of, I need to create this, it's going to be measured, like, what am I doing here? What's the new story that you're able to create?
Well, it's new questions to ask. You know, if the question is coming up of like, what if, you know, this, what will people think if I paint this thing, which is ugly, and expressing my deep depression, because again, I still had not was processing the grief of losing my father, which can look ugly on a painting, you know, and it's not art therapy. I must make that clear. It's not art therapy to, you know, try and work out from your painting what it is that's going on inside you. It's an experience and an expression of the energy that's inside. And again, it's this nervous system connection where what's my nervous system doing and how does the nervous system want to paint right now or doodle? I use the doodling as well, drawing, this intuitive drawing process, which helps me to get in touch with where my nervous system is at. And the story can be changed by asking a question like, well, so what if someone doesn't think it's good? What if you were going to burn this in a ceremonial fire? Can you paint as if you were going to burn this in a ceremonial fire? Because at the end of the day, what does anything matter, really, in the bigger scheme of things? We get so caught up in those little dramas and stories that make us contract. So physically, if you think about those questions that came up in my mind, those stories, you know, if you put those into your mind, Jasmine, does your body contract again? You know, like, what do people think? What if they think this? What if I think? What am I, you know, if you think those kind of thinking, what happens in your body is everything closes in. And when I think about, well, it doesn't matter, and what if I was going to burn this, and what if nobody really cares, and what if I don't care, that as I'm saying it now, I'm sitting here and I can feel my own body like opening up, my arms are going further away, my chest is opening, I'm sitting up straighter. I don't know if you got the same sense. So, you know, it's asking questions to change the story and to change the relationship with the painting, which becomes a journey. It becomes like this experience of you living your life. You watch yourself as an observer watching what you're doing, painting this color on the paint canvas, painting this line and this squiggle.
As you're talking about this, I get so excited, which is why I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in my life with these conversations. But I think even backing it up to a higher level, there's a belief system playing out or a thought process of like, it's what I see everywhere is shame. Like, I need to be mindful. I need to do it right. Like, I'm not good enough. I need to be a certain way. And I think in a lot of ways, the new belief is, I love you. Like, I love myself. Like, letting yourself authentically paint this depressing picture. Our emotions can be really ugly sometimes, especially if we were taught that they bothered somebody, right? And so a lot of the time I'll work with my clients about allowing yourself to feel your feelings is sending a very powerful message to yourself, which is that, like, I see you, you matter, you're welcome to be here, and I love you. And it's so powerful.
It gives me goosebumps as you say that.
Yes.
It is so powerful when we can really look at ourselves, whether it's in the mirror or just sitting quietly with ourselves and go, I love you. Just as you are.
It is
terrifying. It feels completely untrue to begin with. But when you get it, oh my goodness, it is so liberating. You feel like you've actually just been reborn, you know?
Yeah.
And well, that's how I feel when I get that. And I have to say that at the end of the day, Jasmine, isn't it just love that we're all looking for? It's love and peace, but we think that that's coming from the outside, but it's all got to come from within us.
Absolutely, 100%.
And I read a lot of Marianne Williamson's work, and she says, you know, the opposite of fear, the opposite of fear is love. Of Course in Miracles says the opposite of fear is love. And at the moment with the coronavirus situation, the fear, as we know, is so, you know, increased. But we've all lived with fear before it anyway. It just seems to be heightened, the circumstances, and we have choices. to, again, for me, it comes back to the nervous system of, well, what fear does to the nervous system, we've spoken about that, and it shuts everything down. And so if we can move towards and find ways in which we can move towards love for ourselves first and then for others, then everything opens up and flows and we can heal the world. We can actually be functional and moving past the fear and, you know, accepting it, seeing it for what it is, and then bringing it with us, but over, I like to say, like kind of like sprinkling icing sugar love all over the fear, you know, just let it be there, mm-hmm. but let's make more love than fear.
And this goes back to just this idea of it's really hard to understand these concepts until you've experienced them, because unless you've had those deep, powerful experiences of feeling the difference, experiencing the difference within yourself, it's really hard to understand. And I believe story is a beautiful way to share. So I'm wondering if you can share some experiences that you've seen your clients have where they've shifted through the work that they've done with you, and what has it looked like for their lives?
So I have clients who have worked with me for the last 15 years, and working with through all the modalities that I have in my toolbox. But what they have mostly experienced is a sense of them getting in touch with how they can let go in a space that is held safely with no judgment. A lot of my clients were women who are go-getters, always on the go, doing things for everybody else, just like me. Because often I think we attract people that we are working with, or the people that, you know, what we are going through ourselves as healers when we're working in these spaces. And these women were often high achievers, doing a lot and never getting that space and time to rest. And when they got the space to rest in the spaces that I created, they became more aware of how they were functioning in the world and how they were operating. And each interaction they had with me was another little seed planted of like, oh, when I'm in this situation, I can respond differently because it is possible. So they've got a taste of the possibility of how it is to be different within themselves and how it is to be different towards themselves, how they think about themselves and how they treat themselves. So I would encourage people to, you know, come for regular sessions of body work, because for myself, that's been a profound change to my nervous system and then to my functioning in the world. I'm a much kinder person when I've had more body work. And these women, most of us want to be kind. We want to be good and we want to love hard to the outside, but we have to teach ourselves how to love to the inside. And so I think these spaces that I create give people the opportunity to become aware of their bodies on a very physical level, to understand what it feels like, where there's a blockage and what the difference is between having a blockage and having flow, and gives them some tools and awareness to take with them into their lives so that they can just move with more flow, be a little bit more aware. We can't get it perfect. We're all human. We all go back to default patterns and ways of behaving when we're under stress. But for them to know that there are those possibilities, that they can be different.
I love what you're talking about. The space to rest. And I also want to just say something about the power of doing this work with another human. If we think about primary attachment relationships and how important it is for us to be connected. So when we're babies, we learn who we are based on how our primary attachment figure like responds to us, essentially. And so when we do this primal, deep work, having another person to energetically connect with. And, you know, it might seem like, okay, I can go rest by myself, but there's something really powerful about the connection. And I'm wondering if you can say something about that. I know when I worked with you, having your energy with me was so powerful to help me have my own experience. And it's difficult to understand logically. But what can you say about the power of being invited to rest with somebody else?
there's an energetic holding and sharing of a space. You know, when we're with someone, it's a giving and a receiving. It's not just I'm doing something to you and you're just receiving what I have to give you. There's a very much a dance, and this is the theme of the work, is that it's a dance of breath and life from the heart. That's the Kahuna body work. And it's this dance of giving and receiving. And where, you know, there's that also a biblical thing where two or more are gathered in my name, then, you know, basically I say where two or more are gathered, then magic happens, because no man is an island or no woman is an island. And so we need that connection in order to move forward. And we can do a lot on our own. Absolutely. We need to, because that's the taking responsibility for our health. But we also benefit so much from having someone else observe and hold a space and witness and be there to witness our pain, our growth, our joy, our celebration, our loss, whatever it is that we are going through, in a non-judgmental and safe way that allows us to move through whatever it is we're working with. Because we need, that's when we get stuck, is when we are stuck in the same place with one emotion or one experience that's holding us back because we don't know how to move through it. So the help of another human being, because we're all actually connected energetically anyway, just helps to get the flow going again. And that was the one thing that I really benefited from, and I think also helped to shift and move me so much when I was doing the Kahuna bodywork training, was that it was a group experience of giving and receiving this bodywork. And it's so difficult to explain in words the experience. As you said, you know, it's difficult to explain the experience that you have on my massage table. But it's, I like to imagine it as waves of the ocean, you know, like flowing in and flowing out, like the tide breaking on the shore. And that's the rhythm of the breath. And that's the rhythm of flow. That's the rhythm of nature. And because we are nature, that's how it goes. And so we are also in that rhythm with other people when we give ourselves that space to step into a space like that and be held in a container of flow and openness and receptivity and giving and receiving.
It's beautiful. So then what happens when these, you know, historically you said mostly high-performing women, when they have the space to rest, what happens in their lives?
It starts to get them in touch with what's really going on inside them. And often it's about finding their voice. So they start to tap into releasing emotions that may have been pushed down for a long time. But it's often around the neck and the throat area. And that is often a physical blockage felt there when women are not able to speak their truth, or to have a, find a space for themselves, which they claim just for themselves in their existence, in their lives. So if it's whether it's in their family or in their workspace, and they're not feeling heard. So it's always often comes around the neck area. And they start to get that awareness. And every change begins with awareness. So they start to voice more of what they want, their desires, because now they're getting in touch with them. And I think that's what happened for me really hugely, was I never really knew what I wanted. I had never really wanted anything until I hit rock bottom and realized I needed change, still not knowing what I wanted. But as I got to do the body work and it opened up that connection to my voice and my throat, I realized how much was wrong, in inverted commas, in my current experience, particularly of my marriage, and how I could then use my voice. And voice becomes a metaphor for actions, you know, of taking actions and saying what I need and moving on. So those kind of radical changes can happen. That's what happened to me. But it also doesn't. It just, it allows them, sometimes women, just to notice where they're at and to start making small changes within their relationships with themselves. That's where it begins.
I think even the allowing the space for them to say like, I matter, or like, I think a powerful statement is even like, ouch, like for women to say that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. We're, well, men too, I'm sure, but even allowing us the space for that is really powerful, the awareness piece.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that you're, you know, not everybody needs to leave their marriage. Like that's not the point, right? Which of course I know that you're saying, mm-hmm. but it's about just stopping and being like, what is happening here? And is it working for me? And then choosing the future, going back to earlier, are we reacting to our lives or are we allowing ourselves to respond? And in order to respond, we have to know what's really happening.
I think that's the key. That's it. It's about that awareness of knowing what's happening so that you can then choose to respond. And then through, you know, therapy and other modalities to understand what does that mean. But that's a whole nother conversation. Like, you know, well, then what choices do I have? Because once we have the awareness, and it's a slow process as well, Jasmine. I think this never happens overnight. You know, these processes are ongoing. It's a life journey of getting to know yourself all the time. And things get unraveled all the time as you continue to grow and move through life, because if it didn't, we would get stuck and then the flow would be stopped again. But it all just comes down to that awareness.
So yeah, and I think what you said is really important too. There's not just one method of healing or wellness. It takes so many different avenues. You need to use, you know, the physical. We need our brains. We need to think about things. There's so many different aspects to it. Hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about how you're doing your work right now with the COVID-19 and the quarantine. What are you offering to your clients?
Well, when I saw this wave coming along of the virus, I again got a very intuitive impulse. My life has been lived a lot like this, these intuitive impulses that I get. And then I like jump in and dive in and it takes me off on another path, which is often exciting and new. And so stepping into the virtual online space is new, but it's not something I haven't been thinking of for a long time. And that gave me the space to sit down and really get focused on creating these offerings. And the way that I've worked with the massage is to still work with the nervous system online is very possible. And I've experienced this in many kind of settings that I've been working in over this time with other people in other groups, of how powerful this amazing technology is. You know, for someone like me who's so kinesthetic and I live in a very physical world and I want to have physical touch with people and, you know, the physicality of painting and moving with others, I kind of like was very anti-technology, but the technology actually has proven to be very powerful for having deep connection and helping with healing and moving forward. And I'm very surprised and very delighted that it is working. So what I've created is an online massage experience, which draws on my training as a, you know, all my training, but it creates that space for someone to have the rest and to reconnect with the body and with the breath. The breath is being a really important element, and to bring in a bit of self-touch and self-massage. And it feels like it's the next step in learning to take responsibility for ourselves and healing ourselves. It's like teaching people to become their own healers, teaching, facilitating for people to take their own, to know themselves so well that they can take the right steps to help themselves. And so that's what this is doing. It gives people the opportunity to rest, that space to rest that we were talking about. And I watch the person, so I'm not doing anything on the other side. It's not like a yoga class where you're following what I'm doing. I'm very specifically helping you to notice in your body what's going on and then giving you specific either strengthening exercises. I really believe in strengthening the body and then stretching it and then touching in order to bring healing to a specific ache or pain, but then also working with intention. And intention is really powerful. You know how coaches are now working with their teams, you know, visualizing. So having an intention is a very powerful thing to work with, to be successful in making a shift and a transition and a change in the person's body or in their experience of their energy and their nervous system so that they can then function with more ease and more flow. So the invitation is to make space for yourself to rest, to get in touch with what's going on with the body, what's going on with your breath, and possibly to also get in touch and become aware of what's going on in your deeper self in terms of your emotions or where you're at and where the blockages are, and then to create more flow.
Beautiful. And I know you touched on what my original question to you was, you know, can you do a group class? And you said, no, absolutely not, because there is so much of a dance between you and the client. You need to be very present.
Yes. And since that conversation, though, I have actually realized that it can be not as effective specifically for an individual. But again, coming back to what we were saying earlier, there's energy when there's more people. There's a healing energy that works to facilitate change. And so I did do it with a group, and everybody benefited from it as well, because I'm still intuiting what the group is needing. And truth be told, we're all human. And at the moment, we definitely all have sore necks and shoulders with too much computer stuff and Zoom calls. And so, you know, what is good for the one is usually good for everybody.
It's just different. It's just different. They're different methods. Yeah.
And the other thing I'm doing is that, so to combine the two, creating a journey to flow, which will be an intensive few weeks course. It's a 5-week intensive with including the somatic practices, so that the invitation is to really get an opportunity to dive deep into how you relate to yourself through your experience with your body, your breath, your nervous system. And then asking those questions through intuitive creativity, what can I do to let go of these old stories in terms of, and it's a physical somatic experience of creativity, not art, not coming from the mind, but accessing that deep creative self, which is there, and which sometimes we think we're not creative, but actually we're part of creation, therefore we are creative. We're not all be artists in the formal sense of the word. But that creativity, accessing that and allowing that to flow, gives us, just opens up a lot to be able to notice those patterns and the thoughts and all of that, but also to give us ways to let them go and move to a different place.
I cannot say enough about your work. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. I would love to come have a physical massage with you, but I think the work you're talking about online is incredibly powerful. Mm. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I'm wondering where people can find you. Tell us where they can find your work, what social media, website, all that stuff. And I can add it to the show notes as well.
Great. Thanks, Jasmine. I so appreciate you giving me the space and the time and the opportunity to share this with you, to have this conversation and share with your people. It's I'm about to launch the website inflowproject.com. And on the Facebook, it's also Inflow Project, and Instagram also Inflow Project. I've had many before, and I'm kind of bringing all of them together for this online environment now, and that's about to be launched.
Beautiful. Well, Brenda, thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for your words and wisdom. And I'm very excited for my next experience with you. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you, Jasmine. And we will chat soon. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming. Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast. And don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at jasminesavari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care and don't forget to live your life.